Masechet Baba Mesi'ah Daf Yotet. We're talking about returning lost documents, and here we have a little story. Rabba Bar Bar Hana irkas le gita be midrasha. The Amora Rabba Bar Bar Hana lost a divorce document in the Bet Midrash. Amar isimana itli begave, iti biut ayna itli begave. And so he announced, anyone who finds the get should return it to me, and I can prove that it's mine. In two ways, I can give a distinguishing mark, like we saw yesterday. There's a hole next to this letter. I would know that. And I also have a visual recognition, a more general idea that if you show it to me, I will recognize and I can tell you for sure if this is the get that I lost or if it's a different get that I shouldn't get back. And Ahadru Anihale, based on that, someone did find it and they returned it to him because he said that. Amar layadana imishum nisimana hadru nihali vekasabri simana deoraita imishum tebiut aina ahadru li vedavka surma brabanan abal inish de alma la. So afterwards, Rabba Bar Hana said, I'm not sure what the reason is that they returned it to me, whether it was because it has a distinguishing mark on it, and therefore must be that they think that such marks are valid on a deoraita level, as we saw yesterday. If the law that you can return something based on a distinguishing mark, like there being a hole in it, is mid deoraita, well then that would work not only for a lost monetary object but also for a lost get. Lost get has higher stakes because now it has to do with isurim. But if not, if it's only mid rabbanan that the rabbis allow it, then you can only allow it in when the stakes are less. And so, did they rely on the fact that I have a distinguishing mark? And they thought that this is a proof that the rabbis in the Beit Midrash thought that simanim work on a deoraita level, or is it because I had general recognition? But that recognition you can only rely on if it's a tamid chacham, but a regular person not, because for the general recognition it's not that you're asking them, right, tell us what marking there is. Oh yeah, there's a hole in it. Here it would just be, you know, just showing it to him, and it has to be someone you trust that they're not making it up. This is, you know, I'll know it when I see it, and they show it to him. He says, this is mine, so we trust the person, but that would only work if it's a trustworthy person. So we have a story here that they did return it, but he never clarified what the reason is why they returned it, and therefore the story cannot act as a proof for the explanation. Gufa, now we go back to that braita that Rabbi Zera cited on the previous daf when he quoted it to be in contradiction, and said, "Gufa, masa get isha bashuk bizman shabam modeh yachzir la isha en abam modeh lo yachzir lo laze velo lase." The braita taught that if someone finds a get in the marketplace, if the husband agrees, yes, I gave this get, it's valid, then they should give it to the woman. She still needs it. She wants to prove that she was divorced. And if not, if the husband says, I never gave that get, then do not return it, not to the husband and also not to the wife. Now, bizman shabam modemi ha yachazir lasha. Now, we're going to focus on the first part, that when the husband agrees, we do give it to the woman, and we're going to ask, "Velechush shema katav liten b'nisan v'lo natan na'at tishre, v'azal ba'al zabin pere minisan v'at tishre, u'mapeka ligita dekatav b'nisan v'at yal mitrav lakochot shelo kedin." But how could we give it, even if the husband agrees, how could we give it to the wife? Shouldn't we worry that maybe the husband drafted the get in Nisan, but then delayed and didn't actually give it to her in Tishrei? So that means technically they're married during those 6 months from Nisan till Tishrei. And then the husband would have sold the produce of her land. The law is, if a woman brings land into the marriage, she retains ownership of the land, but while they're married, the husband gets to take the produce. And then when they're divorced, she gets the land back. And from the moment of divorce, meaning when she gets the get, then she gets to take the produce from then on. So here's, we have to worry that maybe the husband had sold the produce from Nisan and Tishrei, which would be his right, since they're still married. But the problem is, once she gets the get, the get says from Nisan, she'll take this get and go to the buyers of that produce that the husband sold it to some buyers, And she'll say, hey, look, my husband sold you this produce, but it wasn't his to sell. Since he divorced me from Nissan, I'm the one that deserves the produce. And therefore, right, she would go and repossess that produce, but it would be unlawful because the husband really did have a right to that produce, because even though this says Nissan in the get, he actually didn't give it to her until Tishrei. And so we should not give it to even to her, because perhaps it has a wrong date on it. And then perhaps she could use that to extract produce from buyers unlawfully. Now, how are we going to answer? That's a challenge to the Braita. We answer in one way. Hanicha leman damar kevan shenatan einav legarsha shub en labal perot shapir. There is one opinion that says once a husband decides that he's going to divorce his wife, even before he actually goes through with it, already he does not have a right to her produce. So that if he decided he decided sufficiently that he asked a scribe to write up a get, so he had a get written up, that means he's seriously considering, he decided he's going to divorce his wife, he didn't get around yet to actually giving it to her, by that point already, it's like separation time, and he cannot take her produce. And therefore, even though he didn't give it until Tishrei, the fact that he wrote it in Nisan means that he doesn't deserve the produce from Nisan. And then he sold that produce during those intervening 6 months to a buyer. Actually, that sale was not valid. And therefore, the woman would have a right. Even though she received in Nisan, she has a right to recollect it from the buyers. And so there would be no problem. This braita would make sense. But the other opinion that Machloket says that the husband does have a right to take the produce from his wife's land all the way until the time that he actually gives the get. So now, really, he had a right to sell it, and she may go and repossess it unlawfully. How come we don't worry about that in the Braita? And the answer is, Ki atal mitraf amirinan la, aitiraya emat mita gita lidach. When she comes to repossess the produce, the buyers will tell her, hold on, first bring proof when you receive this get. I know it says Nisan, but the buyers will know. They'll be careful about this, and they'll know that sometimes it happens that someone writes it now, but doesn't give it till later. And they'll say, okay, this is proof that you're divorced, but doesn't prove when you're divorced. All right, go bring some witnesses that when they saw that you actually received it, and if it was from Nisan, then we'll give you the produce, otherwise not. So the buyers, therefore, are protected anyway, and that's why there's no problem, and you can give the get to the wife. Now we have a serious question. What's the difference between get and a loan document? Ditnan, masas shitrechob, im yesh ben achrid rasim lo yachzir. Vokim na shikesh shechayav modeh. Back in the Mishnah earlier on Daf Yod Bet said, if someone finds a promissory note and has a lien in it, you should not return it. And we decided that, we established there, that it was talking about a case even where the borrower admitted, yes, I owe this money. Still, don't give the document back to the lender. Why? Because we worry, maybe it's a predated document. He wrote it in Nisan, but didn't actually lend the money out until Tishrei. But, and so the borrower has this document that he writes up, and it says the date of Nisan. He gives it to the lender. And now, if the borrower doesn't have any property to pay, so the lender will go and collect the lien. Now the lien says from Nissan, but what if the borrower had some land he owned in Nissan, and he sold it in Iyar or any of the intervening months? Now the lender, based on this document, will go and repossess that land because, look, I have a prior lien prior to the sale from Nisan. But the truth is, that's fake. The lien only started in Tishrei when he actually gave the money. And then that he will unlawfully take the possessions of that buyer. Now that's the halakha that we learned regarding in regard to a loan document. Now here's the question. Hatam nami lehadar, v'chi atel mitraf nemale, aitiraya emat mitashrachov lidach. How come there we don't also say that we don't have to worry about such a situation, because when the lender comes to that those buyers to repossess the land, the buyers will say, oh, it's very nice that you have a loan document and it has a lien. Fine, we know that there was a loan, but bring proof when you actually received this loan document. Just like for the get, the buyers of the produce can tell the woman, bring proof when you received the get. Here also, they could say, bring proof when you received the loan document. And they're not going to allow their property to be repossessed before they get proof. And so those buyers will be protected in any case. Why don't we say that? And if you do say that, then since the borrower agrees that this is an outstanding loan, you should be able to return a loan document, just like we just said that you return a get. Really good question. And here is the answer. Amri, hachaga beget isha atelakoach utba'ah. Amar hayda adru nihala rabana negita mishum delat ha'agin vetetib. Hashta deka atya lemitraf tezevet etere aya emat metagita liada. There's a fundamental difference between a get and a loan document. Basically, it's that a get is used to prove that she is divorced. That's the main thing that it does. Now, it also has other consequences regarding financial things, whereas a loan document has only one purpose. Its main purpose is to collect from a lien. So here's, let's read it inside. Regarding a divorce document, the buyer will countersue the woman. When she comes and says, hey, that produce that my husband sold to you was really mine. See, I was divorced this whole time. And they will countersue and say, oh, we'll give it to you, but only if you prove that you did in fact receive the divorce. Because they will think to themselves, and they will say, the fact that the rabbis allowed you to have this get is because they didn't want you to be an aguna. They wanted you to be able to get remarried. And so they said, okay, take this document and then you can show it to anyone when you're going to get remarried, and they'll allow you to get remarried. But now you want to use it also to repossess property that we bought, the produce of your land that we bought. And though in that case, you need a proof that you actually got it in your possession. So regarding a get, everybody knows that the rabbis would allow a woman to receive a get, even though it has a prior date on it, because they want to help her out so she can get remarried. So the main purpose of the get document is to allow her to get remarried. The rabbis aren't careful to say, oh, it has a previous prior date, and therefore, you know what? We have to protect ourselves, and we need proof. Therefore, we're not worried that the woman is going to take possessions of produce illegally, and therefore you can give the get. But regarding a loan document, it's not the same. Regarding a loan document, the buyers are not going to countersue and say, oh, prove that you received the document on that day, because they're going to rely on the rabbis, on the Beit Din that oversaw that transaction. And they're going to think to themselves, from the fact that the rabbis gave this, allowed this loan document to go to the lender, it seems obvious that why did they give it to him? Why did they return it to him? So that he can use it. Use it for what? Use it to collect the lien. So therefore, it must be that the rabbis looked into it and they said, yes, the dates in the document are correct and you have a valid lien back from Nisan. And therefore, they're going to allow their possessions to be repossessed without questioning it. Therefore, we have to be more careful. And if someone finds a loan document, we have to worry that someone will use it to collect the lien too early from earlier than he deserves it. And we have to protect those buyers. And that's why the halakha is different, that a get that you find, you do return, but a loan document that you find, you don't return. Shichrure avadim. Okay, back to our Mishnah that says for a document to free a slave, if one finds it, it should not be returned. Teno Rabbanan, Masa Shtar Shichrur Bashuk. Bizman Sharab Modeh Yachzir La'Eved, En Rab Modeh Lo Yachzir Lo Lazeh Velo Lazeh. Baraita elaborates on the Mishnah and says, if someone finds a document of emancipation in the marketplace. If the master agrees, says, yes, I gave it to the slave, and he is free, then you give it to the slave. But if the master does not agree and says, no, I never gave it to the slave, I never freed him, then you don't return it to either party. Let's analyze. So if the master does agree, you do give it to the slave. But how can you do that? Look at the problem it will lead to, similar to the previous cases. Shouldn't we worry that maybe the master wrote this a document of freedom in Nisan, but he didn't give it right away? He only gave it later on in Tishrei. Now, in the meantime, the slave went and acquired properties. Now, the law is while he's a slave, anything he acquires goes to the master. So all those things, in fact, belong to the master. And the master, he sold them to a third party, to a buyer. But now that in Tishrei, the slave now gets this document and it says the date of Nisan. So it says, oh, look at that. It says of Nisan. And now he'll go to those buyers and says, look, I was free from Nisan. So when I acquired those properties, I acquired them for myself, and the master had no right to sell them to you. Therefore, I can come and repossess them. But in fact, that will be unlawful because the date was wrong, and really he was only free in Tishrei. Why don't we worry about that and say that even if the master agrees that he gave this document, but maybe the date is wrong, and then it could lead to land being repossessed unlawfully. And the answer is, he says, know what? This braita will make sense according to the opinion. There's a machloket about this, but there's one opinion that says it's a merit for a slave to go free, and everybody would want to go free. And furthermore, since you could, it's a merit, we have the law of zachin la'adam shelo befanav, right? The same thing. If I go and I see a nice item that was dropped on the floor, a watch, and I say, you know what, my friend Joe, he would really like this watch. I pick it up on his behalf. It belongs to him even without him knowing, because that's a benefit. But you can't do something that's a negative, chavin. I can't buy a stock on behalf of my friend because the stock may go down. And then the friend would say, I never wanted to buy that. Okay, so we add to that further the opinion of Abaye, who says that the witnesses that sign on a document of emancipation here, they also, not only do they sign the document and ratify it thereby, they also acquire it on behalf of the slave. Therefore, when it's written in Nisan and signed in Nisan, those witnesses that sign it will acquire it on behalf of the slave, even without the slave knowing or receiving it. Because zachin la'adam shelo befanav, and there's a zechut, everybody would want to go free. And therefore, there's no problem here, because the fact that it was written in Nisan means actually he did go free in Nisan. Maybe he didn't know about it, but he was free, and therefore all the things that he bought during those intervening months really are his own. And so when he goes and repossesses it, he should repossess it. So there's no worry that he's going to repossess things unlawfully. There's another opinion that says, no, it's negative. It's not in his interest to go free. Not necessarily in his interest. You have to ask the Eved, do you want to go free or not? Maybe he would not want to. Why would a slave not want to go free? Wouldn't we assume that freedom is better? Well, there are certain aspects in which it's not. If the master is a Kohen, then the Eved can eat terumah while he's a slave. Once he goes free, he cannot eat terumah anymore. As a slave, his needs are taken care of. He has free food, free housing. So he might, and then when he goes free, then he's kicked out of the house. He's not going to have that anymore. A slave has less restrictions regarding marriage than a free person. So there may be other things that he would interest, that would he would want, and he would not want to go free. Therefore, you can't acquire a manumission document on his behalf unless he agrees. And therefore, we have the problem comes up again, then the answer is dechia tel mitzraf amdinan le aitira ya emat metashi chirur lidach. No, you don't have to worry about this case, because when the slave will go to those buyers and say, hey, I acquired this land for myself, right? Look here, it says on my freedom document that I was free from Nisan, and they'll say, hold, they will know that sometimes it happens that it's written on one date but given later on. And so the buyers will protect themselves and counter sue and says, no, you have to prove that this document of emancipation came to your hand in Nisan, and then we'll give over. So since people know to protect themselves in that case, just like they do for Get Isha, therefore we can return an emancipation document. Diatiki matana vechule tenor banan ezohi diatiki da tehe lemekam velehiot sheimet nechasav lifloni. The Mishnah taught that if someone finds a will or a gift document, they do not return it. Let's analyze first what these terms mean. So Braita says, what does the word diatiki mean? It's actually an acronym. The dalet is for da, this. The taf is for tehe. Lemekam v'lehiyot, this will be a deed. This deed will be to stand upon and exist. Meaning, this is a document of proof. That if the person dies, then this his property should go to someone else, right? Meaning a will. Now, actually, this is a folk etymology. The actual etymology is from Greek, right? You can see here in the Jastrow Dictionary actually gives the Greek here, diatheke, which has the same meaning. And the Gemara here is just giving a fun etymology, so you could be easy to remember. Right? This is actually in the Mishnah. It's interesting that you have some Greek words, even in the Mishnah, although most of the Mishnah is nice, pure Hebrew. But this was a common legal term, so it made it into the Mishnah, so everybody in the time of the Mishnah knew what it was talking about. But here is an explanation to then remember what it means. For someone not familiar with Greek. Okay, so that means a will, and matana, kol shekatu bo mehayom ulachar mita. Matana means a document that says the giver is giving this property over to the recipient starting from today and after death. What does it mean, today and after death? It means that the receiver owns the property right from today, but the giver can still use it, enjoy the produce, live there until the time of his death. So this would be a way of a person giving a gift. It ends up being the same as a will, that they can retain use of a property while they're alive, and then automatically it will be handed over at the time of that they die. But this guarantees that they can't give it to someone else, because the giver already gifted it to a person. All right, now we analyze this. Alma iketiba mehayom lachar mita hu dekane vila lakane. You asked, what is a matana? What is a gift? And you answered, when you give something from now and then the rest of the, fully, it'll be transferred after death. So are you trying to tell me that if you write from now and after death, then it's acquired as a gift, but otherwise not? Can the person just write a regular gift and say, here, I'm giving this to you all now, and just give it over totally? Wouldn't that also be a matana? Amar Abaye, hachi kamar ezvi matanat bari shehi ke matanat shechimera delakani ela lachar mita kol shekatu ba mehayom ulachar mita. What the Braita means when it asks what is a matana, well, it's not just asking what a gift is. We know what a regular gift is. We want to know what is a gift that a healthy person can make that would act the same way as a shechimera, someone on his deathbed, makes. Someone on his deathbed, even if he just says or an oral pronouncement, we take it seriously, because he doesn't have time to go and get a lawyer and write it up properly, and he wants to know that his will is taken care of. So his oral will has legal effect, and then we would write it down. In fact, the Gemara is going to explain that the word that diatiki refers not only to a will that one writes himself, but even also to a will that is written based on someone on his deathbed when they say orally what they want to happen, and then we write it down. That's what the atiki means. Okay, so what the question is, how could you do a matana? Someone's not on his deathbed, but he wants to write a will earlier. And so he could write it in such a way like this, that he would write from now until after death. If you write it that way, then it will have the same legal effect as a deathbed will also does. Okay, so now we now that we clarified the terms, let's analyze. Tama de la amartenu, ha amartenu notnin. In the Mishnah, it says you don't give it, you don't return this a will or a gift document. That's because the giver did not say to give it. But if they say, yeah, give it to that person, right? I want it to be delivered. Then we do give it. All right, now we ask why. Urminhu masadi atikaot apotikaot umatanot afa pishnemodin lo yachzir lo laze velo laze. We have a contradiction from a braita that says if someone finds wills, a designated repayment, right? If I say, listen, I'm going to pay you back, a borrower says I'm going to pay you, and if I don't pay you, I'm designating this field that you can take, or a gift document, even if both parties agree and they say, yes, this is an outstanding loan, or this is a valid will, or a gift. Yes, I really wrote this gift and I gave it to him. And the other person agrees, yes, I received it. Still, you don't return the document, not to the giver and not to the receiver. So now we have a contradiction because the Mishnah, and at least an inference from the Mishnah, says that if they agree, most particularly the giver agrees that he wants this to be given over, he wants this gift to go, and so he says, yeah, give this document to the receiver, then we do give it when we find it. And here this Baraita says we don't. How can we resolve this contradiction? We're talking about two different cases. If the person that wrote this gift document or any of these documents was a healthy person, then we do not return it. But if the person that wrote it is on his deathbed, then we do give it to the recipient. And we're going to explain why. Matitin de katane ha amartinu notin b'shchiv mera debar mihadar hu. The Mishnah, our Mishnah, that says, if the giver says, yes, I want you to give it, then we do go ahead and we give it to the recipient. First of all, maybe the recipient lost it in the first place and they had it. And even if not, let them have it now, right? Even if he was just holding on to it and the giver is the one that lost it. But the giver says, you know what? Now I want it to be given. So either way, it doesn't matter. We can give it over because he said to give it. Now that is referring to someone on his deathbed, because someone on his deathbed can retract his gift, right? Someone on his deathbed issues a will, and then he changes his mind. We allow him to change his mind. That's permitted. Whereas a healthy person who gives a gift or writes a healthy will, right, a will while he's healthy, once he gives it, that's just a regular gift. Once you give a gift, you cannot retract it. That's going to be the main difference. And that'll make a difference why we either return one or not, as we're going to explain. The explanation is somewhat lengthy, but it's not so difficult. Damrinan, Maika lememhad. What are we worried about? Why would we not, in some cases, return an item when they agree when the giver agrees that he wants it to be given? What are you worried about? Dilma ketaba meikara lahai v'imlich v'laya haba nihale v'hadar ketaba li'ini shacharina v'yihabe nihale hashta kahadar be me'ahude dihaba nihale. We are worried that maybe the giver wrote a gift document at time zero and intending to give it to a person A. But then he decided, you know what, I changed my mind, and he never actually issued that document to receiver A. And then he wrote a second document to person B, and he gave it to person B. And now he decides, in the meantime, document A to person A was lost, and now it's found, and we say, oh, what should we do with this? And he changes his mind, says, you know what, I should have given it to A all along. You know, I changed my mind. I don't want to give it to B. I want to give it to A. That's the scenario. And now we're going to plug in each case. Is it talking about a person on his deathbed or not? So here's the basic outline of the coming argument, because it's long. It's easier to explain. If is someone on his deathbed who has a right to change his mind. Therefore, a person on his deathbed, he wrote it to A, decided not to give it, and it got lost. Then he actually gave something to B. And then when it was found, he says, I want to change my mind and give it to A. He's allowed to. That's totally fine. So you give it to A, and A, who had it second, will say, well, now it's mine. right? And that means that the person on his deathbed, he remembers that he gave it to B. He says, no, I take it back. And he, since he's allowed to take to change his mind, so when we give it to A, that is a valid gift, and A can use it. There's no problem. We're not worried about anything. That's the case of the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says you should return it. Whereas the Braita is talking about a healthy person. When a healthy person makes a decision and actually gives a gift document, then he cannot return. He cannot change his mind. Therefore, the healthy person who wrote a document for A, didn't give it, lost it, then wrote a document to B and gave it to B, now it's rightfully the property of B, and the giver cannot change his mind. So if we then find it and ask the giver, you want us to give it to A? And if, let's say, he thinks in his mind, oh yeah, I'd rather it be given to A. You know what, give it to A. Well, then A might come and say, might claim it, but really it doesn't belong to A, it belongs to B, because a healthy person cannot retract once he gave it. So that's the difference between the two cases. Let's see that inside. We're gonna bring two cases, Matanat Bari and Matanat Shechiv Merah. Both of these cases are talking about someone on his deathbed. But someone on his deathbed, he could write a regular gift, the document, or he could write a will, or an oral, say it orally, or write a will document. Either way, it's the same thing. Someone on his deathbed can change his mind. So even though it says here Matanat Bari, I think this means the type of document, but it's actually talking about the Mishnah, which is about a Shechiv Merah. So if a Shechiv Merah, someone on his deathbed, says, you know, bring me the regular form of giving a gift, and he writes it up. If that's the case that's talking about, then there's nothing, nobody will lose anything, because even if dechinafka tarte batraita zacheh daha hadar be mikamaita, if it ends up that we have two deeds that are produced in court, then whoever received it second will be the rightful owner, because that means he changed his mind from the first. In other words, right, we found one deed. We don't know if there's a second deed out there or not, but we suspect maybe there is. So what's the worst case scenario? That maybe this deed was the gift to person A, and he never gave it, and he lost it. And the guy on his deathbed wrote something to person B. And then, after it was found, he says, you know what, I changed my mind, I want to give it to A. That's okay. He's allowed to change his mind, so give it to A. And then, whoever gets it second, whoever receives it second, will be the rightful owner, and that's A, and that means he changed his mind from B, and that's totally valid. And the same thing would be if he issues a death will, right, a will, an oral will on his deathbed, and then they write it down as a diatiki. It's the same thing. Right, there won't be any loss to anybody, because that means he thought about giving it to A. They wrote it down in a will in the diatiki, and it was never given, and it was lost. Okay, then afterwards he says, you know what, I'm giving it to B, and so he has some document and is written up and is given to B. And then it was found, and the guy's still alive. So we say, oh, look, we found this. What should we do with it? He says, give it to A. Well, even if, and we don't even know if he did, but even if he, in the meantime, had given over a document of a will to B, it doesn't matter. Now that he's still alive and he says, give it to A, he's permitted to change his mind because he's on his deathbed. And so A, who received a second, will take it. No problem. Ki katan, that's all the Mishnah. Ki katani ba baraita af al pishe shnei modim lo yachzir lo azeh ve lo azeh bebari de la bar mi hadar hu. When the baraita says that even if both the giver and the receiver agree, yes, I gave that, and the other says, yes, I received it, still we do not return it to either one. That's talking about a case of a healthy person who's not on his deathbed, and one day he says, I want to give a gift. That person has no right to retract once he actually gives it. Damrinan, Dilma, we don't return it to either party because we suspect. Dilma ketava lahai meikara, maybe he wrote a document for person A. Vimlech b'layi habale, he changed his mind and didn't give it to him, and then that document got lost. And then he wrote a document all while he's healthy to person B. And he gave it to person B. That's it. B is the rightful owner of that property. No one can change it. Now someone finds document A, says, what do you want to do with it? And the giver changes his mind and thinks, oh, I'd really like to give it to A. He knows, since I'm healthy, I can't change my mind. You know what? I'll lie. And I'll say, oh, you found it? Good. I already gave it to A, right, earlier, before B. And if then we give it to A, then when both of them come to court eventually, the one who received it, A, will claim that he received it earlier and take the property, but it actually won't be his because really it was given to B first. So you see the difference. But if someone is on his deathbed, whoever receives it second really gets it. So he's second, good. Right? If there was someone before him, doesn't matter. We'll give it to second. But if someone is healthy, the person that receives it first is the rightful owner. And therefore, we have to worry about that and cannot give the document to A. So what should we do? Ela amrinan le'anan. Rather, we tell the gift giver, who was still healthy, we say, okay, what do you want to do? Hi kitabat, lahi binan le lahai, dimai mikhtav kitabat, mi hav lahi havit nehale. We are not giving this document back to you because we suspect maybe you wrote it for A, but never gave it to him. Maybe you gave it to B and because you changed your mind and didn't want to give it to A. We don't know if that person's out there or not. And we don't, you know, we're not going to believe you, whatever you say anyway. So if you say, as you say, you didn't give it to anybody else in the meantime, and you still want to give this to A, that's fine. There's a way to do it. By writing a new document. Write a new document with a new date on it. And give it to A, and then there won't be a problem, because if you had already given a document to someone else, to Mr. B, there's no loss, because the earlier date will get it, and that guy already has a document for the earlier date. So there's a way to resolve the situation, if that's what he wants, without and make sure that nobody will lose out. Rav Zavid, however, rejects that answer, that contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braita. Matkif la Rav Zavid, veha idi v'idi diatikaot katane. Both sources talk about diatikaot, meaning wills. So therefore, you cannot say that the Mishnah is talking about a deathbed, and okay, that has wills, that's fine. But the Braita is only talking about a healthy person. A healthy person doesn't write a deathbed will. So it doesn't make any sense to say that the Braita is only talking about a healthy person. Only someone on his deathbed can issue an oral statement that will be written up as a diatik. Diatiki, and therefore he proposes a new answer. Both are talking about someone on his deathbed. But the Mishnah that says that a person that you do return the document is saying when he himself, the original giver, the guy in his deathbed, says yes, give it to the person. Whereas the Baraita is talking about a case where the person on the deathbed already died, and it's the son who says when you find it, oh yeah, you found it? Okay, yeah, give it to the recipient. Let's explain the difference. The Mishnah that says when you find the document and the giver says, yes, give it, it's talking about a person on his deathbed, and it's that person himself who says, give it. Because that person, someone on his deathbed, has a right to change his mind. Even if he gave it to someone else, he could change his mind. Damrinan. Even if in the meantime he gave it to someone else, in other words, he issued a statement on giving it to A, but he never actually gave it to him. And they wrote up a document, but the document, they never actually gave it to him. And then later on, he issued a document and gave it to B. So there's still no loss to B. When it comes to an earlier or a later, if they both come to court and produce their documents, the later one will win. Whoever received it later will get it, because a person on his deathbed can change his mind from giving it to the first and give it to the second. So there's no problem, and that's why the Mishnah says you give it. Whereas the Braita says, even if they both agree, the giver and the recipient, we still don't return it, not to either one. That's talking about where the giver had died, and now we're dealing with the son. Because we say, maybe this document that was found was written for to give it to A, but the father changed his mind and never actually gave it to him. Ubatad avu katav ihu linish acharina vihavu le. And then after the father died, now the son hasn't been given to anyone, so it goes to the son. He's the rightful heir, and he wrote a document giving it to B, and he gave over that document. Vehashta kahadar bemahu. But now that A is found, the document A was found, so the son says, you know what? I changed my mind. I really want to give it to A. Savar mi hadad lamasin hadrabi. But he knows he doesn't have a right to change his mind because he gave it as a healthy person to B. So you know what I'll do? Since now I want to give it to A, I will say that my father really gave it to A, and then they, the Bet Din, will return it to A. And you know what I could do then? I could go and collude. And I can go to A and says, listen, you know, I really gave it to B, but now they found this document and they gave it to you. You can go and repossess the document from B, and then me and you will split it, right? So why did he give it as a gift to B in the first place if he didn't want to? Who knows? But he changed his mind, and now this will be a seemingly legal way to get it out of B's hands, but it's actually not legal. And that's what the Braita is talking about, where it's the son that says, give it back, but the son is a healthy person and does not have a right to change his mind, and therefore we suspect maybe he gave it to B. Hilkach amrinan le'anan. And therefore, we tell the son, listen, we found this document. You're claiming that you didn't gift it to anyone in the meantime, and this is the only document that was ever issued? We're not going to believe you, but you have an easy solution. Listen, this document, we're not giving it to the recipient because maybe the father wrote it for him, but maybe the father never actually gave it to him. And you gave it to Mr. B, and now you're changing your mind, so we can't in good conscience give it to Mr. A. Ela ikushta kamati havle avuch. But if you're saying the truth that your father really did give this document to A, and it really belongs to A, and you didn't give it to anybody in between, zil at hashta ketiv le shetaracharina dina mela yahava le avu uchtave li at li ish inish acharina let papiseda de kamar batra kamar zacheh. Then you have an easy solution. You go and draft a new document that says, I want to gift it to A. And give it to him, because in that case, even if our suspicion turns out to be correct, that the father drafted the document but never gave it to A, and you gave it to B, there'll be no loss to B, because when it comes to an earlier and later document, the earlier will win out, right? The later only wins out when the Shechiv Merah says give it to the person, because Shechiv Merah can change his mind. But you, the son, are a healthy person, and therefore the earlier document will win. So you can write a later document, and there will be no loss, even if it was given to someone earlier. Tenor Rabbanan, Masa Shovar, Bizman Shaisha Moda Yachzir Labal, En Aisha Moda Lo Yachzir Lo Laze Ve Lo Laze. Another braita that's similar to the ones before, but this is talking about a receipt. Generally, a husband gives a wife a ketubah. Good. She holds on to the ketubah. Should they get divorced, then the wife will come and demand the payment. So the husband, let's say the ketubah is for $1,000. So the husband will give the wife $1,000, and she will write a receipt. and give it to the husband. She also will give him the ketuvah itself so that she cannot collect again, either or. And so she gives him a receipt, and now she cannot come and collect the ketuvah again because he has a receipt. Now, we're talking about a case where this receipt was lost and now found, but we don't know who lost it. Did the husband lose it and we should give it back to him because it's a valid receipt that he paid? Or maybe the wife wrote it up and she lost it, but actually it was not given to the husband, and therefore we should not give it. So what do we do? So the Mishnah says, the Baraita says, we do not return it, not to either party. Well, it depends. If she agrees, yes, I was paid, then we give it to the husband. If she says, no, I was not paid, I just wrote this up, but I never gave it to him because he didn't pay me, then we do not return it to either party. That's the Braita. Very good. Now, we have a question. Since the Braita does say that when the wife agrees and says, yes, I was paid, we give it to the husband, but how could we do that? Here's what we should worry about. V'lechush dima katva liten benisan v'lo natna ad tishre v'azla zebanta liktuba betovat hana'a minisan ad tishre. What if she wrote up this receipt in Nisan, but she didn't give it to the husband until Tishre? In the meantime, she sold the right to collect her ketuvah to a third party, to a buyer, right, for the benefit. Now, women would do this sometimes because they wanted cash right away. And let's say the ketuvah itself was worth $1,000 at face value. She might sell the right to collect it for less, for $700, say, because maybe she'll die and she'll never collect it at all. And furthermore, she wants the money now. And so $700 is worth more to her now than $1,000 later. So she has a right to do that. She generally then would give the ketubah to the buyer, and then once they got divorced, that buyer would go to the husband and say, listen, we have the right to collect the ketubah, give us $1,000. So we suspect that maybe she wrote a receipt for $1,000in Nisan, but didn't give it to him because he hadn't paid yet. And then, in the meantime, in Iyad, she says, you know what, I want the money now. And she gives the ketubah and the right to collect the ketubah to a buyer for $700. And then that receipt was lost and then found. And then the wife says, yeah, you know what, he paid me, my husband paid me, give it to him. She's lying. So he says that. Well, then the husband will be able to take this receipt and go to the buyers and say, look, it says here that I paid my wife $1,000 in Nisan before she sold it to you. Therefore, she had no right to sell the ketuvah payment to you, and you got it from you, and you got it without permission, and therefore the $1,000 that I already paid you, right? Because then once they got divorced, back in whenever they got divorced, when the buyers came to the husband and said, "Look, we have a right to collect the ketubah for $1,000," he gave them $1,000. He'll say, "Oh no, I already paid. See, I have proof here that I already paid the wife $1,000 before you, and therefore I can take your property in exchange." And now the husband will be, he's great because he actually never paid the wife to begin with. And now he can collect back the $1,000 that he gave to the buyer. But this all will be illegal because in fact, this is just a predated receipt and the husband never actually paid the wife to begin with, and the buyers should have the right to keep what they collected from the husband. So the husband will produce the receipt that's written in Nisan and come and take money from the buyers without permission, unlawfully. So why don't we worry about that? That's our question. We're gonna have two answers. Rava says, it must be that we follow the opinion of Shmuel. Shmuel said that someone who sells a loan document to someone else. In other words, you have a borrower who wrote up a loan document and gave it to the lender. Now, the lender says in a loan document he'll be paid, you know, in 6 months, $1,000. But the lender, he wants the money now. And so he sells the right to collect the loan. He sells that loan document to his friend at a discount, right, for $700, because that way he can get the money now and he gets it for sure and let his friend deal with it. Okay, you can do that. Now, what if in the meantime, after that, the lender forgives the loan? A lender has a right to forgive a loan, right? He says, you don't have to tell the borrower, you know what, that loan, it's a gift. You don't have to pay it back. It's okay. Now what, right? Is it really forgiven? What about the buyer of that loan document? Oh, he's out. He's out of his money, right? He paid $700 for it, but the loan really is still, the loan is owed directly to the lender, and the lender therefore can still forgive it according to Shmuel. And Shmuel even says that if that lender dies, the heir of the lender can forgive the loan, and the buyer of the loan then now spend $700 and will get nothing for it, right? That's his right to do so. The application to our law is that the lender here is like the wife, where she is owed money from the husband. Now she sells the ketubah to a buyer. That's like selling a loan document to a buyer. Even though she sold the document, she has a right to forgive it afterwards. So therefore, if she was deciding to deceive that buyer, right, by, in this case, she was deceiving by giving that receipt, saying to the finder, give the receipt to my husband, as if she was already paid in Nisan. Well, you know what? That's actually in her right to do, because she could have also decided to forgive the ketubah even after she sold it to the buyer. Then she could tell her husband, you know what? That ketubah, you don't have to pay me anything. And in which case, the buyer would also be out his money. All right, so it would be the same. It would be the same effect that if she did that and the husband had paid the buyer, the husband could go back to the buyer and say, "Give me the money back," right? Because my wife had already forgiven the ketubah. So since a wife can forgive the ketubah, she also then should be trusted to say that she wants to give the receipt to the husband, even though it's predated. That's the answer of Rava. Even if we disagree with Shmuel, not everybody agrees with him, we can still answer the question. We're talking about a case where the wife still has the ketubah in her hand. If she still has the ketubah in her hand, well then, that means that the ketubah is still owed to her. If she really gave it to a buyer in between, so we don't know if she gave it to a buyer in between, we're just suspecting. So if she gave it to a buyer in between, then the buyer should have demanded the ketubah document. The fact that the wife still has it means that she didn't sell the right to collect the ketubah to a buyer. We don't have to worry about that. And therefore, if the wife says that husband paid, then surely there's nothing to worry about and we can give him the receipt. That's Abaye's answer. But Rava says, no, if it's only because she has a ketubah, that's not really proof that she didn't sell the right to collect the ketubah to anyone else, because it could be that there's two ketubahs. Maybe they had a ketubah originally and she lost it. And so then they write a new one and then she finds it. So actually she can have two ketubahs, and maybe when she sold the right to collect her ketubah to a buyer, she gave them one ketubah, but she still has another one. So just because she has another one doesn't mean for sure that she didn't sell it in the meantime. And Abaya says, I don't agree with that for two reasons. Number one, we don't suspect that there's two ketubot. It's very rare that that happens. And so if she has a ketubah, then that we assume that she did not give the ketubah to anybody else. Ve'od shobad bizmano tarif. And furthermore, if you write a receipt, the receipt takes effect from the time it's written, even before it's given. Because Abaye follows his opinion elsewhere that says that witnesses that sign a document, if it's a document that's good for the other person, like the emancipation document that we saw before, then it's given automatically. If you say emancipation is good for a person, then the slave receives it automatically from the time it's written, because the witnesses acquire it on his behalf. Same thing here, when the wife signs a receipt and has witnesses sign it, when the witnesses sign the document of receipt, they can acquire it on behalf of the husband, because it's good for her husband to have a receipt. It shows, oh, look, this was paid. And therefore, even if it's written in Nisan and not given, it's the same as being given in Nisan. And therefore, the husband, in fact, has a right to say, oh, I don't owe anything. This was paid back from Nisan. And therefore, if we find it, we certainly can give it back to the husband. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.